Hi. So, kind of recap. Anybody remember Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? What happened in it? Well, that was 5. Right, Acts 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so in Acts 1, we had the pre before the Holy Spirit happened, right? They gathered in groups and decided on things, right? Cassia got this? They got arrested twice between 1 through 6, right? The last time they were beaten, correct? But what did they do? They counted it joy that they could be beaten.
Yeah, teach again.
Keep teaching is what it kept saying, right? But what else happened? So between all that time, a great multitude of people, right, joined. All of them. A lot of people wanted to kill them. But a great multitude, right, joined the movement. But then we also saw that, you know, the Pharisees thought, we'll go ahead and let them continue, we'll let them out, but we'll severely beat them. This will probably peter out and fizzle out. But if it doesn't, then it's like ordained by God. Well, guess what? Continuing on 2,000 years or so later, right? We're still here. We didn't peter out. We're still a Christianity group, right? So, the multitudes. So, I mean, there's a difference between like a small group and then a multitude, right? So you have one person, two people really, 12 apostles trying to do everything, right? Over a big group of people. So way back in the day, you had one teacher and one schoolhouse, right? And they were teaching grades 1 through 12. And that was your administration, that was your principal, that was your teacher, and whatnot. Is that the same today? If you are not homeschooled, and you actually do have more administration than you think. Like, Brendan and Haley, they're homeschooled, but you have an administration, right? You have people you got to go through. You have to go through your mom, right? She's your principal. But you also have online, you have your teachers and stuff like that, correct? Well, you're just weird. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. I hope you graduate. I'm just kidding. But anyways, in a normal situation where there's a big mass of people in, say, a high school, right? You have 300-plus people going to the school. You don't have one person teaching anymore. You don't have just a principal teaching every class. They can't, right? They need help. Is that correct? So you have office administrators, you have teachers that teach every type of grade and different things like science and math and biology, right? So that was something that they needed help in. You can't have just one person doing it anymore. You have a multitude of people. So we're going to see that today where they need help. And that's kind of the title of today's teaching is Help Wanted, right? Sometimes it's not wanted, help is needed. Most signs, if somebody's looking for an employment, I see those signs and it says help wanted. Is it wanted or is it needed? It should be help needed, right? Because there's a difference between a help and a need, or a want and a need. Help needed, right? Yes. Yeah. Just like when it says call again. I don't get it. So let's go ahead and jump into the study. I forgot to time this, so hopefully somebody is looking. You got a time back there on the recording, right? Okay, let me know when we get to about 22 minutes. Okay, thank you. So in Acts 6:1, it says, now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. In what days are they talking about? It means basically the starting or the multiplication of the church. It's talking about those days. So the multiplication that's happening within the church and the act. If we look at Acts 2:41, it says, "And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day were 3,000 souls added to them." So we're talking about the multiplication of the church there. So who is upset here? Does it say?
The Hellenists.
Arose a complaint, it says, against the Hebrews, right? A complaint, if you look in Acts 6:1 in the King James Version, it actually puts it a different way. "And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. I'm glad you asked. We're getting there. So, the Hellenists and the Hebrews were both believers, right? They both believed in what they're doing. It's kind of like the millennials, if you like to put that, you hear people complaining about how the millennials are, or the millennials complain about how everything else in the world is horrible. By the way, you guys are not millennials. You are Gen Zs. By the way, I looked this up yesterday. Gen Z. Unfortunately. Which is worse. Sorry. All right, so people complain about the millennials on how they are. So there's the Hellenists, right? Or also known as the Grecians in the New King James, or the King James Version, what it said, right? So the Hebrews were the Jews who were inclined to embrace Jewish culture and were mostly from Judea. The Hellenists were the Jews who were more inclined to embrace the Greek culture and were mostly from all over the Roman Empire, right? So you have two different, you have the Hebrews, which were the old-fashioned people, but they come to know the truth of Jesus Christ. And then you have the Hellenists, which were the Greek, the Roman Empire, right? Who were just kind of fresh into this, but they have their own thoughts. But what were they doing? They were, the Hellenists were complaining, right? About the neglect by the Hebrews, right? Against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Okay, so the Hellenists were complaining against the Hebrew people, right? On how they thought they were being neglected, or their widows were, okay? And it may not be the case. You didn't hear in there that the Hebrews were complaining. It's just the Hellenists were complaining, okay? And then why were they upset? Right, the daily distribution, or in the King James Version it said the ministration, right? So basically, they would go out to, there was a group of people, right? Usually the apostles that would go out and visit homes of the widows. They would disperse possible funds. They would help them with things that they needed, groceries, cooking, cleaning, whatever would help them, right? If you look at Acts 4:34-35, it says, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each other as anyone had needed." so part of the distribution, right? So if you looked at the previous chapters, that's what happened, right? In 4, people sold their goods, laid it at the apostles' feet, and then they distributed it throughout. Or ask. Anyways, hard words to say. All right. And then in chapter 6, 2 through 4, we read, "Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business, over this business. But we may give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" Right? Did you guys understand that part? Let me reread it. Okay, go. What, do you have a question? No, I mean, it's fine. I can answer this if you need. Okay. So, what do you think it meant? Yes, that's what they're looking to do. So, like we were talking about on how schools have a principal and they oversee things, but they have one main job. And then there's teachers that help out the principal, the administrators that help out the principal, so that principal can do his main job, right? Because if he was to try and teach and do all the administration and everything, he would be lacking and not giving full attention to somebody, correct? Kind of like when your parents get home from a long day at work, right? You think that's their only job that they have? No. What else do they have to do? They've got to pay the bills, right? Most of the time, they got to cook dinner. Okay? What else do they have to do? Make sure you're not dying. They got to care for you, right? And then on top of everything else that they have to do at work, too. So that's where you guys come into play, right? To help lighten the load. Not just because you're kids and they think you're adorable, right? You're to obey your father and mother, and if they ask you to do something like a chore, dishes, clean the counters, clean your bedroom, clean the theater room, something like that. I mean, movie room, living room, whatever it is. Not touching base here at home. But if they ask you to do something, right, they're not just doing it because they don't want to. It's because they have other things that they need to get done. Okay? So they put you in overseeing that. So they give you a specific task. One task shouldn't be that hard. Even if you work or if you go to school, I guarantee you don't probably do as much as your parents do throughout the day. I guarantee you. There is a lot of things that they do behind the scenes that make your life better. Guarantee you. Flip a coin. So anyways, they may ask you to do chore. So should you obey obediently? Yes. Yes, because the word of God says to obey your mother and father, right? And to do it, and to help lighten the load. But anyways, so that's what's happening here, right? They are needing help so they can continue doing what God appointed them to do, right? Just like God appointed your parents over the household. Okay. So, that was fun. Let's look at Exodus 18, 15 through 23. It says, "And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me and inquire of God, when they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one another. And when I make known the statutes of God and his laws, So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good." It's not saying that it's not well done and pleasing to God, but it's not good. So go on to the next one. All right, so it says, "Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourselves. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God and for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God." Next one. "And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens." And then the last one, part of it says, "And let them judge the people at all times, and then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you if you do the thing, and God so commands you. Then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." Does that make sense now where we're going with this? Andy, is it kind of clearing up a little bit? All right, so appointing people to help you out so you can continue focused, right, is what's happening here. So they are going to look for seven people to help in their administration, but they have to be what? They have to be holy, filled by the Spirit, and in wisdom, so they can point them over the business, right? So they were asked to choose wise people. Okay, we look in Deuteronomy 1:13. It says, "Choose wise and understanding and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you." So it's just confirming that, you know, even among the church, we're supposed to choose wise people. Even if they are to clean the toilets and stuff, they're still supposed to be filled by the Spirit, right? They should be filled by the Spirit because they're wanting to do this for a reason, right? If they're doing it grumbling, then they're not doing it for the right reason, and they don't need to be there. Okay, and then in 1 Timothy 3:7, it says, "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Right? So right now you can see that the devil is trying to snare people anyways throughout this because of the murmuring, and he's trying to divide the church already. He's trying to get it from taking off even further because he's not liking it. So he's causing division among the church. And is division among the church great? Is it good? No. We should be with each other in one accord, as we see continuously in Acts and what they do. And then Acts 6:4, it said, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word," so they can continuously do what they're told by God to do, right, and preach the word of God. So if they have other people doing their thing, they can continuously do what God told them to do, right? Acts 2:42 through 43 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Is that 42 and 43? Yep. Okay. So, I mean, you got to see, you got to see that they were steadfast and that they, how they were being used, correct? That many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. And that can't happen if they're trying to go feed a widow over here and on this side, right? They're not giving their all to what God called them to. That's even within our youth group. We have how many people? We have three sets of leaders, right? We have Tyson and Erica. We have Gary and Michelle and my wife and myself, right? And together we get together and to be on one accord. So we help each other out so we can be one within the youth group and help Pastor Tony out, because he doesn't want to be over here trying to teach you when he's trying to teach the big service, right? I mean, not that he doesn't want to, but he's being used over there, and that's where we can stand here and help and try and lead you guys more to Christ, right? And so you can lead others to Christ. Okay. And then we can look at Acts 5:6-7. And it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip," looks like Pinocchio, but it's not, "Procharos." A lot of names. Anyways, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they had laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and in many of the priests were obedient to faith. So, what do we see in there? So, they appointed people. Yes? Huh? You're at 22? Okay. I'll try to wrap this up real quick. Okay. So, they chose seven people. They chose seven people that were actually from more of the Hellenist group, but they were wholly spiritual. Because if you send Hebrews out to the Hellenist widows, they might not receive them as well, right? So within those names, those people were more of the Hellenist group than they were of Hebrew, okay? And then let's look at Acts 8:17 real quick. It says, "Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." Laying hands on them means to pray over them. Even if they have a small chore, it doesn't seem like a lot, you still want to lay hands on people and make sure that's the correct decision. Laying hands on means praying, not beating to death in this court, right? Okay. I'm going to lay hands on you. Make sure you do your job. All right. 1 Timothy 4:14. Says, "Do not neglect the gifts that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on hands of the eldership." So do not neglect the gift that was given to you. People laid their hands on you. You were given a gift for a reason. You may be given a gift of cleaning toilets. Do it with love. That lady over there, right? She does it. Your parents may give you the gift of cleaning toilets. Do it out of love, without grumbling. Help that administration out, right? Yes, and then finish it off with Colossians 1:6, "Which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Bear fruit, guys, right? Bear some fruit. So any questions on this? No? Okay. So listen to your parents. Help out your administration, right? I'm not trying to preach that to you guys to make you do that. But people were given the responsibility, right? Just like the apostles were given a certain responsibility. And they can't do it without help. Help wanted, severely help needed, right? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, that you may speak to us. Lord, may we just got something, even a tidbit of what you wanted us to hear today, Lord. Lord, continue to do wonders in this youth, and Lord, may we just grow and flourish under your hand. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Your grace is always. In Jesus' name, amen.